Good morning.
Good morning.
I see that the people who are sitting right here have got the message that we're ahead of schedule again by an hour this morning, so well done. We'll see how many people turn up at 11 getting excited. Great. I'm going to read to you something from Acts 5, and I found it to be quite an odd call to worship, but I just feel that this is the right thing to do, and it's from Acts chapter 5 and verse 34. And I'm not sure if someone referred to it a wee while ago, but I had read it myself personally, and it was speaking about when Paul and another of his friends were getting in trouble for talking about what God was doing. And they were put away with the Pharisees, and then in verse 34 it says, "But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honoured by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, 'Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God.'" So, whatever happens here this morning, whatever happens, you know, here on out with us, if we're trusting God, if it's from God, nobody will be able to stop us. Let's sing this morning, "Jesus Loves Me." I may have been here for the last few weeks in body and spirit, but sometimes there's so many other things zooming around in your head during the week that you're either exhausted mentally or you're strung out. Has anybody else had that feeling?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, perhaps you should be here and I should be down there. Anyway, I was...
Yes, all the time.
Yeah. So I guess it's... I read something I was reading a conversation with God that I'd written last year, and I'd forgotten about it entirely, and found it when I was preparing. And maybe it's the demands of my job places on me, or maybe it's the time of year, or maybe it's a symptom of my age. So obviously these two don't suffer from that at all. But for the last few months, I've often felt like I've had been in a tumble dryer, and my thoughts have been scrambled when I think about the things that we as a group of Christ followers are going through, my part in that, and how it is that God still loves me and wants me to be alive in him and dead to myself. That's a real struggle, I find. Anyone else have that struggle? Oh, let's see if you... Oh, good, I'm not alone anymore. Cool. So when I came across this, I thought, I actually need to read it out. And so here's an excerpt. And because sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. And so I've written, hello. This is what Mark Holloway in the Freedom Diaries. I'm trying to do things along those lines. And for a lot of people, I think, they think he's odd, but to be honest, if it works and God's in it, then I'm good with that. So I got to the point where I needed to try something different. So this is what I wrote. I said, hello, I'm my own worst enemy. And I wrote back. I believe that's what God was whispering. Hello, I'm glad you've come. You're mine. You're a daughter of the Most High God. And we sometimes forget who we are. You are in a spiritual battle. You feel pulled into a vortex, and indeed you are. My strength is enough for you, but you must live in it. No one can be my child and survive on their own. It would be like putting a baby in a desert and thinking they would survive without any protection or assistance. The safest place is in the shadow of my wing. By coming and living and learning, you are putting yourself there. The battle is too great otherwise. It is not a mental strategy, it is one of spiritual survival. The link grows stronger with each time you submit and come to me, recognizing that I am the only source of your strength and succor. This is the nature of the spiritual realm. What you feed will grow stronger, what you ignore will grow weaker. Rely on me to tell you which is which in your daily life and decisions. This is not an easy or natural decision. It requires death to self on a daily basis. The struggles are real and will become more so. Rest in me is essential. Walking by faith and not by sight doesn't come down to a set of lists or bullet points to remember. Walking implies forward movement, stepping out in a new direction, receiving communication as you go, not a list of instructions to remember as you go. So in light of that, because of who God is and who I am, I'd like to read something from this book called Prayers That Avail Much. And this is the one that's titled To Be God Inside Minded. And it's very declarative of what God has done and who we are in him. I think religion has targeted us and taught us to be passive, but to be in any relationship, husband and wife, father, son, daughter, mother, friend, friend, us with God, to be involved in any relationship, we need to be involved with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. So if as I read this you don't feel like you're there yet, that's okay, because it's declaring who God is. And if it says, I do, you don't have to say that. You can say, I want to. Wanting to want to is actually a good thing, because that shows that we're still keen and on the right track with God. We want to learn and be more involved. So, with the knowledge that Jesus loves us, let's pray. Lord, I am a spirit learning to live in a natural world. I have a soul and I live in a physical body. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. God of peace, I ask you to sanctify me in every way, and may my whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Father, you call me, and you are completely dependable. You said it, and you will do this. Thank you for the Spirit, who guides me into all truth through my regenerated human spirit. Lord, your searchlight penetrates my human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. You actually gave me your spirit, not the world's spirit, so I can know the wonderful things you have given us. I am a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and led by the Spirit of God. I listen to my heart as I look to the Spirit inside of me, your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for directing me and illuminating my mind. You lead me in the way I should go in all the affairs of life. You lead me by an inward witness. The eyes of my understanding are being enlightened. Wisdom is in my inward parts. God's love is perfected in me. I have an unction from the Holy One. Father, I'm becoming spirit conscious. I listen to the voice of my spirit and obey what it tells me. My spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit and dominates me. For I walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I examine my leading in the light of the Word. I trust in you, Lord, with all of my heart, and lean not on my own understanding. In all of my ways, I acknowledge you, and you direct my paths. I walk in the light of the Word. Holy Spirit, you are my counselor, teaching me to educate, train, and develop my human spirit. The Word of God shall not depart out of my mouth. I meditate therein day and night. Therefore, I shall make my way prosperous, and I will have good success in life. I am a doer of the Word, and put your Word first. Jesus, the living Word. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and who you've created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there any notices that you've got, Jo? Nope. I've only got two. Next Sunday is finger food lunch, and a lot of that is related to what's on the newsletter. And the only person I know of is Ethel, who's going to talk about what happened over at Winton when Presbytery met yesterday. Thank you, Ethel.
Standing to what Lynn said about your head being so full. But don't you hate it when you stand in front of someone and you've got to introduce them and you can't remember what their name is? Anyway, yesterday at the Presbyterian gathering in Winton and Friday afternoon as well, we had an amazing time. It was really, really good. Very fast paced. Ian Guy was the moderator for that, and just so interesting with everything that they brought to us. And just one thing after the other, there were no gaps anywhere, and very, very informative and interesting. There were some things that we probably need to say over the next couple of weeks, but there's one thing in particular that is a very serious issue that they have asked all the churches to make sure that everyone is very savvy about it, and it's to do with the civil defence and the Alpine Fault. Yesterday we had a guy called Tony, someone or other from civil defence emergency management spoke to us in one of the groups that they had yesterday afternoon, and there are several groups. Most people went to the civil emergency group, and it was very shocking to hear what they had to say. And so they wanted us to make sure that everyone was very, very savvy, very prepared, and realised the urgency of what they were saying. So I'm going to present that to you hopefully within about 3 or 4 minutes. With the civil defence, I actually drew a little wee map here, and if you can see it, it's nothing like New Zealand, but I did it as a scribble. And they said that the fault line, I sort of knew where it went, but when they showed you very detailed yesterday where it went, it goes right up the west coast of New Zealand, crosses over to Seddon, and then goes up the Hukurangi Fault. And so what they said from that, I'm going to read sort of what I've got, because there are things that we really need to take notice of. Churches will be very, very important in this, particularly in Southland and Central Otago. And they said even government and civil defence will put churches as a priority because of how they will be able to help people. They're expecting to have a lot of fatalities, a lot of injuries. They're expecting about a magnitude 8 earthquake and spreading 400 to 500 kilometres right up through that area. They said probably what will happen is the fault line could go north, it could go south, or it could go split in the middle and go both ways. And so what they're wanting us to take notice of is everything in Southland and Central Otago would be hugely affected because of our mountainous areas, our waterways, which will have backwash of water coming in huge amounts. And they need us to be very, very savvy and focused about that. They're asking for churches to stockpile food, and not just in 3 months' time. They're saying that we should actually be doing that already, because churches will be a focal point where people will come to for help if churches are still standing. So there's a huge, yesterday after they gave this information to us, there was just a stunned silence. And at the end, Ian Guy thanked all of the other speakers, but he said, "Tony, I don't actually want to thank you for what you've just given to us, but we thank you for being here." So it's incredibly important that we all hear what they're saying. So I'm going to read a little bit. Our generation has been lulled into a false sense of security, and now a lot of earthquakes of 4+ magnitude are happening, and they've happened over the last 40 years, so it's virtually nothing. And then all of a sudden, we've got a lot of things happening. And they listed a lot of things that have just been very recent, like Canterbury earthquakes, the Havelock North water stuff, Kaikoura earthquake, the Christchurch fires, the cyclone rainfall that's been right throughout New Zealand, Otago flooding, Southland Dunedin, South Dunedin flooding, Saddle Hill, Dunedin water contamination. And then they also talked about Havelock with their water contamination. With 50% of the town, 5,000 people, got very ill with their water contamination. Now, if you think of that, that's half of the population of Gore. And they said that happened like in an instant. We need to be ready, and it's a huge warning to all of us as churches. He went over and over that, just how important that was for us to be very savvy as a church and to be very prepared and have a lot of food stockpiled. It's now way over the scheduled time for the fault line to go. It's way past when it should have happened. And someone said to him, "Well, you know, do you think it could happen now?" And he said, "It could happen in half an hour's time. It could happen in 4 minutes' time. It might not happen for 2 years. But whenever it happens, it's going to be huge. And they need everybody to be very, very aware of that." Just done on that. So churches will have a very significant voice in helping people. Civil defence and government will be taking huge notice of churches, because that's the places that they're looking for to be the help places. Evidently the Salvation Army, although they have food banks and that, they are already well known to have stockpiled food. There's also something, if you can remember this, look at YouTube. And there's something you can look at called the Alpine Fault Profile. They actually showed that to us yesterday, and it was scary. It's very scary. What happened all up through the west coast of New Zealand was that when you look at Christchurch and Kaikoura, a lot of the stuff that fell and all that, Kaikoura would be a very good place to look at, because in mountainous areas, the whole mountains came up and down, and all up the west coast they showed this movie of everything going up and down, all up the coast, taking everything with it in its way, crossing over to Seddon, and then going up, doing exactly the same thing up the east coast of New Zealand. Everything west of Clyde will be blocked. There'll be no electricity anywhere, possibly for weeks or even months. And they said anywhere with mountains or waterways will be hugely affected. And they said, like, for example, Milford Sound would have a 70 metre backwash of water coming through the sound. Now that's high, it's very high. And they said every waterway that has a water, a dam or mountain stopping it somewhere will cause that backwash of water to rise up real high and either come over the top, take things with it, or wash stuff away in its path. So they said if we're in the way of rivers or dams or mountains or high hills, we're very susceptible to stuff that will either break down, collapse, or cause backwashes of water. That's almost all. Let me just have a look here. So just one of the things that Tony kept emphasising, he said, you know, you can't just sit in your church and say, oh, well, maybe, you know, 2 weeks' time we'll have a big food thing. He said, we need to be ready now. If we're not ready, we're in a lot of trouble. And just his final thing, he said they're expecting a huge loss of life, a huge amount of injuries, and it will take countries from all around the world to come and help us. And he said, in civil defence, they're very aware of that. Countries are already aware of that in New Zealand. And so he said, we may not be able to move very far from our home. We might not be able to move a few yards from our home. We might not even be able to move at all. And so that was the severity of what he was telling us yesterday. When we came home last night, you were actually very stunned, still thinking about what they had said. And even our own daughter, Michelle, who works for Southland District Council, keeps saying to us, you know, they're expecting huge things to happen. Queenstown particularly will be very, very adversely affected. Te Anau Lake is, how deep?
400 metres.
400 metres deep. So if it pushes all that water up, where will it go? And so there's things like that where you've got the west coast with all of the sounds everywhere and all of that push of water that could come in. So it's really just a heads up for us, and they want us to be very savvy as people, very savvy as churches, and very savvy as an area, because we're right at the bottom of the South Island and the fault goes right up and it actually carries on south of the country. They said we're in a huge water area and we're in a huge mountain area. So they just want us to be very savvy with that. Well, sorry I have to say all that, but we took it on board and thought, yeah, we're mostly ready, but we're not quite ready at home and we need to be. Okay.
Yeah. Not quite sure what we're supposed to say about that, but I think we probably should pray right now.
Yeah.
Is anyone who feels that they would like to?
Yeah, I could.
You could?
Yeah.
Thanks, Ethel.
Yeah.
It's a good thing God's in charge, eh?
Well, simply as I sat down, we should be praying. Lord, we want to just bring all of this to you, and yesterday it was quite shocking for us all to hear where all of our churches are in the south, that it's going to affect every single one of us, and it's not if, it's when. And Lord, we just want to bring all of that to you, that you'd help us to get past the fear factor and to be prepared instead. And Lord, that we would know that you're in control of everything, but we're in an earthquake area, we're in an earthquake country. And Lord, we need to just be very savvy and very prepared in our minds as to how to help other people as well as ourselves, and how to go about that quickly so that we are prepared, whether it happens just in the next day or the next weeks, or whether it happens 2 or 3 years out, that we are actually prepared. And Lord, we bring that to you, that as godly people, we would be ready to minister to those around about us. Amen.
Thanks, Ethan. I guess Noah comes to mind in that case, doesn't he? I mean, he had to prepare, even though it seemed like something that was quite ridiculously minded to a lot of people around him. So let's be using our brains as well. Thanks. Righty-o, has anyone had a birthday in the last wee while? All far too sensible farming families to have birthdays at this time. Right. Any other celebrations? No? Right. Ross, could you just give us an update on the, I believe you prayed for Will Gardner last week, is that right? Has anyone got an update?
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Fantastic.
He's home and looking fine.
Brilliant.
Great. Yeah. I'm not sure for a fortnight.
Lovely. That's a celebration. Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Margaret. All right. Cool. Rightio.